Jesus prays. In that Bible reading that I just read, Jesus prays. And all right, I understand it. First, the prayer kind of seems like a description of the insiders of knowing all the stuff, the followers close to Jesus who had joined him in the Last Supper. Jesus is praying for them. That potential exclusiveness is exactly what newcomers to a church, maybe like St. Paul's, maybe here in digital space, a newcomer coming in and watching the service might think, is that for me? I don't understand the insider language. I don't understand the jokes. What's going on? I don't understand this church ease that goes on. It's even more like what people who live with a mental illness might feel when they're brave enough to attempt to be part of this or maybe any congregation. These words aren't for me. They're meant for someone else. Too often we hear it like that, or it feels like that. But I want to say that digging deeper into what Jesus says, you can see beyond what seems the narrow, just these people, to this commissioning. Yes, these folks may have had the incredible privilege of hearing Jesus teaching and seeing his miraculous interactions up close and personal. And they shared his message. What was Jesus' message, though? That's the point, because it's all overarching, even anything that we read. Jesus' message is that God loves everyone, that God cares for everyone, that God will be present with everyone. And then maybe we try to absorb that message along with it. But as we try to absorb it and we think like, yeah, God loves everyone, there are those right now, and especially in this time where we are physically distant from one another, who live with mental health issues, and they don't believe it. We have to do everything in our power to bring all people along. And the we as a collective we who do not have a particular mental health bad issue going on right now, we who do, we who have anything good, anything bad going on, this collective we all have to do anything in our power, everything in our power to bring all along people who are left weary by mental illness. This unity. We have to bring everyone along with a unity of heart and mind. At the end of today's reading, Jesus asks God to protect the disciples so that they may be one as we are one. I love that verse. And it's the subject of many songs. It's the subject of the motto for the United Church of Christ, that they all may be one. So what has become of that unity? Here's what appears to be too often the church's idea of unity. We disagree on political candidates. We disagree about the historical Jesus. We disagree about wedge issues. We disagree about music styles. We disagree about worship settings. Seriously, these days, we are disagreeing about whether being in a building together for an hour plus on a Sunday during the coronavirus pandemic is okay. We disagree. We disagree. We disagree. So what do we agree on? Well, Jesus gave us those two important rules, right? Love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. There are some others. I know those are the big two. There are some others. I've mentioned these before. People should have enough to eat, right? People should have places to live, yeah. People should have access to medical care. All people should be treated with the same decency and respect. Augustine and John Wesley have both been credited with this bit of sage advice when it comes to Christian unity. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. And I know we've got wedge issues that make us so angry that we want to fight with each other. All of us. But we can be unified even when we have those disagreements. I know some are so big that maybe you feel like you just can't. You know, we're even going to disagree about whether the things we disagree about are essential or non-essential. Yeah. But what a testimony we could offer the world. Now, before, forever, if starting with this digital meeting of a congregation, St. Paul's UCC Online, started there and then extended to our association and our conference, even the entire United Church of Christ, that we could love beyond any internal grievances and genuinely extend love to all. We do have to do everything in our power to bring everyone along, right? Even those left weary by mental illness, even those left weary by whatever it is, in a unity in heart and mind, we have to stop using disagreement as a weapon. We have to stop looking at anyone as the other. There cannot be an us and a them. We have to be ready and willing to continue to live toward being a congregation that is welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged for mental health. You know, mental health challenges affect 1 in 4 people, 1 in 4 families in our congregation, right here. And it's too easy to just throw up our arms and say, but I can't. I don't know what to do. It's just too hard. It's just not okay to do that because we are the church. We got to be the church. Welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged for mental health. And I know we haven't talked about it a lot directly lately, but all the things we had set in motion before the pandemic are still important. We can still work to be welcoming, supportive, or welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged for mental health. And these days, we really have some time to just gain perspective about it, right? We've got moments for reflection, long times for reflection. Why not try again to spend time listening to someone you disagree with about something significant? We're all too good at posting our feelings. Boom, boom, boom. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. And then it's difficult to engage because the response is, but you're an idiot, you know, stuff like that. How about really listening to someone you disagree with? And instead of the quick response of, well, that's wrong, just a seeking to understand. I don't know if it's possible, but why not continue to try? Don't try to convince the person that you're talking to of their wrongness. Just be genuine and interested. I don't know if it works for everything, but it certainly helps to diffuse all of the anger that we have toward one another, the divisiveness, the demonization. After you have a conversation with someone, try it this week, about the significant thing, tell them that you love them. No matter how you disagree or whatever the significant thing is. Then maybe invite that person to join St. Paul's during one of our online worship services, or to go back and look at this service from today or one from the past. They're all really awesome. They really are. After you've done that with one person, maybe you'll have time to do it with another person and another, same process, same genuine love, same invitation. We can be the church, and St. Paul's can be a congregation that shows Christian unity. We don't have to agree on everything. We just have to be willing to love God and to love each other, that they may all be one. Amen.